It's McLeod.
Blog Talk Radio.
And this would be the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters with Jack Jodell. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Good to hear from you, Gwen. Again, Gwen.
Jack Jodell, and today another co-host is our Capitan over at Roundtree 7, David. Hi, David. How you doing today? Hello, David. David. Well, anyways, this is Mike's on, and we are basically here for, oh, gee, David, it's not David. Lee, is that you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Lee's here.
Hi, Lee.
Hey, Lee, I was just introducing. I expected you to call in a minute. Well, let me finish the introduction. Today, our guest is Lee Camp. I don't need to make much of a introduction. Most of our listeners know exactly who Lee is. I am, though, however, going to bring you an introduction by way of Lee and play one of his moments of clarity so it sets the show a tone. Is that okay with you, Lee?
Sounds good.
There we go. Okay, let's play up.
We got no plans, no plans at all. Evil man's always fencing. Fight like sheep, swallow everything. Always simpletons or pretending.
This is your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. This is not a small matter that we're facing right now. We're in the middle of evil versus good, dark versus light, profit versus people. And the good outnumber the evil by 100-1. The problem is that 80% of the good team is lost in an erratic, disastrous, diabetic coma, pathetic stupor, drunk on soma. It's a brave new world in which we're anesthetized by shiny objects, zombified by televised social rejects. And just like goldfish, if you give us a little food and a little plastic treasure chest or a little chest of plastic treasures, we'll never even notice that our world is limited to a tiny bowl. A small 2-foot enclosure houses all our thoughts and all our souls. So maybe we need a paradigm-shattering moment to realize we're witnessing the liquidation of everything we've built over the past 200 years. This form of unfettered, unregulated, ravenous capitalist domination of the mental sphere, the natural here and now, is an extraction, a digestion, a defecation on anything and everything that matters to the vast majority of us. A few thousand people are buying up our future. And the question now is only whether we can put our differences aside long enough to tell them to go fuck themselves with a rusty dildo, snuff themselves with some poison Merlot. It's kind of amazing when you think about it. The people fighting to save the dolphins, and the ones fighting to save our Bill of Rights, and the ones fighting to stop the frack holes or stop the police brutality assholes are, at the heart of it, battling against the same thousand rich as hell, dick it can be, profit whores. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we have the same enemy. Every time people start to stand up, we're split up into smaller groups, when in fact, we should be united. Many people are afraid to break out of the fishbowl. You could end up flopping around on the floor thinking maybe the bowl wasn't so bad after all. But that's the risk of reaching for freedom. That's been your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. The music I'm going to play now is Rebellion Politics by Junkyard Empire. I'll have a link to their stuff in the description. Also, you'll notice there are no advertisements on these videos. I prefer to have Moment of Clarity survive by your generosity. Become a member at LeeCamp.net for as little as $5 a month. And keep fighting.
Rebellion politics, the opposite of what you know is politics. For corporate capital, fix the government, break their promise. It's a new day when people create the policy. The economy trickles up to eradicate the poverty. So get up, stand up.
And please do get over to LeeCamp.net and give him $5 a month. I mean, we all try to get that much going. Lee, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was a fun bit I did, and I actually tried it on stage last night up in Portland, Maine, where I was performing. I didn't realize that when I said chest of plastic treasures, it seemed like the entire crowd thought I meant fake tits, which hadn't even occurred to me.
You do a wonderful job. I've been listening to you for what now? 2 years? Almost 2 years? Is that how long you've been out there?
Well, I've been, in terms of Moment of Clarity, I've been doing it 2.5 years, yeah.
Okay. How long?
And what got you into it, Lee, to begin with?
Well, I've been doing stand-up for about 14 years, and it was just a matter of, like, deciding I wanted to kind of put it up on YouTube rather than just performing live, which I still love doing and still do a lot of. But yeah, I wanted to be able to kind of tackle the topics of the day in a more regular format that could be global.
And that's fabulous. And, you know, I was thinking as I was listening to that first blurb, how much further ahead we would be today if we would have had this technology in the 60s. Because, man alive, I had a flashback to that era when people were thinking, well, so many people were thinking right along those same lines and similar topics. We'd be so much better off today if we had had that technology then. But going forward, we can certainly apply it now.
Yeah, and it makes the truth harder to suppress. It makes propaganda harder to put out there because people can get their news from other outlets. You know, that isn't to say that the mainstream media isn't still the most prevalent news source, but at least people are becoming more aware, you know, around the globe of other viewpoints and other truths, if you want to call them that, compared to the standard government story that we get, you know.
Oh, yeah, and the corporatist nonsense that we're fed every day in every walk of life. It's terrible.
Right.
Well, thank God we've got truth tellers like you out there and people that can comment freely on the Internet, and let's hope that stays intact the way it is right now, because, if the corporations take that over too, we'll really be screwed.
Yeah, the fight for Internet freedom is truly one of the biggest battles of our time, because I don't think that we necessarily realize it, but we're essentially in the middle of a change of consciousness and a global awakening, the likes of which we've never really seen before, because,
you know,
most devices that changed mankind, like printing press and automobile, it took 100 years, and it was largely only the elites, whereas the Internet is changing things for everybody all within a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's really brought that idea of global consciousness into a reality, because I know myself, I've got friends who are I Skype with them. They're in Iran, and I've got a friend over in Pakistan and people in New Zealand. I mean, I'm sure you do the same thing. It's we're all reaching out to each other. We're all figuring out that it's our leadership that's corrupt and has to get, you know, they must be killed kind of thing. And replaced, the truth has to come out. And just about when Jack was talking about the 60s, I thought my first thought was the hippy-dippy weatherman that became the seven words you can't say on television that became... You know, the truth of the matter before he laid down and said goodbye. And you seem to be just in that, right on that stride, Lee, right down that stride, just like a Carlin, a George Carlin.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he's obviously one of my heroes and did brilliant stuff for so many years and fought great battles for freedom of speech. And you know, it does make you... Speaking of this this format, you know, like you were saying, what if we had the Internet in the 60s? I think that, I mean, Carlin got to see it a little bit, but, you know, if people like Phil Hicks or Lenny Bruce and those types had access to the Internet where they could put out their comedy, their message, their thoughts without any gatekeepers, I think it really would have been an even bigger thing than they were, you know. It's well known that Bill Hicks' final appearance on Letterman wasn't even allowed to air. And those type of things. Now we have a workaround, so that's good.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's we're so grateful for that, and we've got to keep it alive. So everything we can do to ensure that freedom stays there, we've got to do it. It is truly, like you said, Lee. It is the battle of our lifetime.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways that they're attempting to harm the freedom of the internet. There's various bills that we've been able to defeat, like FIPA and SOPA, and in Europe I think ACTA was the name of that one, and mm-hmm. but then there's other ways, like prosecuting various hackers trying to be whistleblowers, and then also the Trans-Pacific Partnership or various trade deals that are able to shut it down that way, and the raid of Kim.com in New Zealand, and kind of trying to shut down freedom of sharing information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's become a real us versus them. I like the beginning of this last moment of clarity where you really polarize and say it's the dark versus the light. When people hear something like that, they sit down and they take a listen, don't they?
Yeah, and it's very true. You know, it's interesting because I consider myself a dyed-in-the-wool liberal and far left, and yet I attract a lot of libertarian fans because we're kind of fighting for a lot of the same things. You know, there's obviously differences, but, fighting for our civil rights and for us to have that kind of freedom and fighting to end this corporate pillaging of the world, it seems like that 90% of us are all fighting for the same thing.
Yeah, and Ali, you mentioned you do a lot of stand-up, and I'm just curious, where will you be appearing over the next few weeks? Could you tell our listeners that? Maybe you'll be in some of our areas.
Yeah, I'm coming back. I had a great gig in Portland, Maine last night. I loved it up there. But I'm going to be I have some shows in New York City. Then I actually head to the Montreal Comedy Festival July. I have some big shows there, July 26th, 27th. And then I'm doing a month at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland, which is, one of the biggest performing arts festivals in the world.
Wow,
and,
great, a month. That's fabulous.
Yeah, so I do an hour every night for a month. So if anybody's in Edinburgh, I hope you'll come by.
Cool.
Nice. It's beautiful over there. We have David, are you on with us?
Oh, yeah, listening in.
Hi, David.
David brought up, Lee David brought up, this is David Williams, and he's often on the show with us here. He's a writer over at Roundtree 7, and he had an interesting point. Now, I know you've talked about this in a moment of clarity before, but I think it bears, and it's a really good topic. David, talk to him.
Well, first let me say that I love your show. A Moment of Clarity is just, it's great.
Oh,
but
thanks, man.
What I wanted to sort of bring up was, way back when, I don't know if you knew who I'm talking about, but Will Rogers, he had, he's like the most popular guy in the world back in his time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be around the time that the Hearst Yellow Sheet newspapers and everything were popular. And the population was sort of taking his word over the newspapers, and
good point.
Popularity today is because of a lack of trust of the usual outlets of the mainstream media. The Cronkites are gone, and nobody really trusts anybody. I know a large amount of the population takes their news from the Daily Show.
Yeah, I think definitely there's a lack of trust. I think also, it's not even necessarily what the Daily Show says, but they're just willing to show clips of politicians contradicting themselves, something that simple of, this is Obama, yesterday, and this is Obama 5 years ago. And you can't get that on a lot of the mainstream networks, at least not on a regular basis. And so I think that's a big reason for it. I don't know that the newspapers were necessarily more reliable back in the, 50s or whatever, but people, there was no alternative news stories, and people didn't know that they were kind of being fed propaganda. Whereas now, you go online and you can kind of see that you're
mm-hmm.
being fed this bullshit on a regular basis.
Oh yeah, very good point.
Out of our airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, newspaper publishers over the years have always had the great great leverage of being believed by the vast majority of the public, unquestioningly. Only a few people on one fringe or the other ever questioned what appeared in the newspaper or appeared on radio or on TV until recently, until the birth of the Internet. And that's really exploded people's knowledge and their ability to question and to find answers, real answers, instead of propaganda.
Yeah, and
as long
I think
as they put forth the effort, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it scares a lot of people to even begin the questioning process, because I think they fear that once I question this one thing, subconsciously they fear, where does it stop? It brings into doubt everything I believe and the worldview I have. And mm-hmm. so you'll see people really angrily defend some tired falsehood that's being put forward by the media. And I think it's scary to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, yeah, that's ignorance is bliss, and I've never believed that.
You know, Lee, I'm wondering, I woke up last night after falling asleep early. I woke up and I saw that across my computer screen when I walked out that there was a decision made by the jury in Sanford, Florida here. I'm in Florida, South Florida, and I wonder if you've seen this, the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman trial, and what's your opinion? I'm sure there's a moment of clarity coming, but I'm wondering, as a satirist and as a political activist, what you think today?
Well, it's interesting. I actually haven't heard my opinion out there as much as I would think you would, but I think it's a horrible incident. I think it obviously shows a lot of the racism that continues in our society, just the fact that Zimmerman was that concerned with a black guy in his neighborhood and then felt the need to chase this guy. And it there's a lot of racism and a lot of racial undertones and everything. However, in the specifics of the case, I don't know that you can really prove that he just shot him without fearing for his life. I don't think in this case the proof is there to be able to make the jury make that decision. So I don't actually know that the jury made the wrong decision. But we have to remember that the stand your ground law is not what's on trial in that case. I mean, the stand your ground law is a horrible law, and it needs to be repealed and changed. But, you know, this is the case of one guy that nobody really fucking knows what took place on that sidewalk.
Well, let's hope it doesn't lead to a bunch of self-appointed Wyatt Earps out there, trigger-happy Wyatt Earps, because that's
right.
The last thing this country or any country needs.
Right.
Well, speaking of...
You know, it sort of makes you wonder if because Zimmerman was stalking, basically, Trayvon Martin, if Trayvon Martin couldn't just turn around and shot him.
Would
the stand your ground apply to Trayvon Martin? I mean,
if
I had someone follow me in the middle of the night, I'd be afraid.
Well, the true, if you really want to see, you know, how racist our system is, and I have to thank my wife for giving me this this fact, but apparently yesterday also there was a verdict in a woman who fired, in Florida, a woman who fired three warning shots against her abusive husband over his head, and she's now going to jail for 20 years,
right.
And, you know, also a black woman, and it shows how screwed up our system is, where, you know, the white guy can kill the black kid, but a black woman fires warning shots and she's off to jail.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, it should be noted here. I mean, I went to school up in that territory in the middle of the orange groves, not far from Sanford, and that is Grand Dragon Leisureville up there, Lee. That's what the KKK has got their retirement going on. That really is Crackerville.
Hmm.
I thought Grand Dragon was the name of the Asian restaurant.
Those guys with the white, I'm not kidding you, man. They used to stop our buses in the middle of orange groves with the hoods on and everything, passing out pamphlets to us little chillins. You know, it was bad.
Oh, God.
That was in the late 70s. So, I mean, it's, oof.
Well, we've had these periods of racism all throughout our country's history, and they come and they go, they ebb and they tide, and it's unfortunately, like I said earlier, I just hope we don't get a flood of self-appointed Wyatt Earps out there.
Well, and you know, if we as a country really wanted to address the racial undertones of our system, then I think you'd have to look into the prison industrial complex, and you have to look into like the studies that show that if you even have a name that is regularly a black name, without even checking that you're black on the form, just a name that seems like it might be a black name, you're something like 20% less likely to even be given the first job interview.
Yeah,
so
good point.
That's without even seeing you. Now imagine once a black person walks into the office, where how much their percentage drops getting
well,
the job.
Well, let's face it, what you're saying is profiling occurs in many areas in many ways, and it's just, at this point in time, unavoidable to, you just can't avoid it.
Yeah, yeah, and so we really need to address those kind of things, and you know, you see them in your face in the something like the Zimmerman trial, whereas I feel like we should address them on a more deeper level.
Right, I would agree.
Absolutely. So, Lee, last night you were in Portland. You're heading back to New York, which is your home, isn't it?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn, New York. Yeah.
And you have you're going up to Canada?
Yeah, the Montreal Just for Last Festival is a really big one, and I'm on a really cool show with Jeff Ross and some other comedians.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do the West Coast as well?
Yeah, I do. I don't get out there as much, but I have definitely played Los Angeles a few times, San Francisco a few times. I love Seattle and Portland, Oregon.
Have you ever been to the center of the country, Minneapolis, for example?
Yeah, I've played a lot in Minneapolis. And
well, great. I'll have to keep my eyes peeled for you.
Yeah, you know, there's such a I've played a lot of like union gigs out there and stuff. There's such a great history of you know, workers' rights and things out there.
Yeah.
Lee,
I
got a question for you, Lee. This is one of David's questions, and he wonders if there are any subjects that you consider too hot to handle.
Not too hot to handle. There are some that I don't tackle because maybe I haven't found a way to make them funny yet, or you know, some things are so dark. Like I had someone who emailed, and you know, I get a lot of emails and recommendations for topics at leecamp.net, and I, you know, most of them I very much appreciate, and well, I appreciate all of them, but most of them I think, oh, you know, maybe I can make that work somehow, but someone emailed me about dealing with the sex slavery and things like that, and I just, like, you know, I deal with a lot of dark topics, but some of these things, I'm not saying I never will be able to make one on that, but I just, it's like, how do you, you've got to find the right angle to make sure you're hitting at the assholes that perpetrate this shit rather than making people feel like you're just mocking the entire topic.
Good point.
That would be true. We had a real difficult topic on last weekend. We talked about NTE, near-term extinction. Are you familiar with that theory?
No, I don't know what that one.
Okay, it was a difficult one. It's near-term extinction is a theory that's, you can just Google it, find out about it. It says we aren't long for it, so it's a difficult one. But something that everybody...
Well, you know, as George Carlin said, you know, maybe the planet will just shrug us off and move on, and so there's the silver lining, right?
Yeah. Very appreciative on that one. Is there any topic right now that is close to you that you are doing a lot of talking about and a lot of research on and all of, you know?
Well, I think I've been attacking a lot of this idea that you know, we need austerity and you know, this, I've been touring in the UK as well, and then, so they're hearing the same crap. You know, we all need to tighten our belts and we need austerity. Meanwhile, you know, we have 900 military bases around the world, so we have money for that. We have money, billions to put into war, and you know, 57% of discretionary spending is on military and war. And yet we're told that, you know, there's not, we can't have health care for seniors or something. It's preposterous, and people need to rid themselves of that idea. I mean, oh, the other, and similarly, the other thing I was hitting on was you know, we're told we don't have money for, like, infrastructure, you know, our bridges are collapsing and our levees are falling down. But meanwhile, we have the money and the will to create the world's largest, most sophisticated surveillance infrastructure.
Good point. Very good point. Yeah, we've got money for what we want to spend money on and what the big boys want to spend money on. Little people don't really matter anymore to the government and to corporate industry. Corporate industry only wants little people around to buy things. That's all they care about.
That's for certain. We've lost Lee. Lee has been dropped. Here he is again.
Great.
Yeah, he's on the road, so he's on his cell phone. Lee, are you with us again?
Yeah, I started talking about the NSA spying surveillance, so they cut me off.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you made a lot of good points. You did come through on those, so that's a lot of food for thought for people out there.
Yeah. I mean, people need to not take what they're fed on where we don't have money and where we do have money. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
You get nothing but indigestion from it.
I mean, seriously, there's $11 trillion of untaxed money sitting in tax havens.
So if
we even just got our hands on some of that, it'd easily solve our problems.
Would easily solve the unemployment problem, that's for damn sure. And there are so many others, infrastructure and everything else, like you noted. It is just unbelievable how we choose to deliberately spend our money on foolish things, military things, things that blow up instead of things that construct.
Yeah, exactly. They tell you, that's why we have to build the Keystone Pipeline, right? It's because it makes jobs. These are jobs we could have. Well, apparently we can only make jobs in order to create things that kill the earth. It's impossible to ever make a job planting a tree rather than cutting one down.
Yeah. Maintaining and building bridges is a way of creating good jobs, too. We never think about it.
Yeah, 60,000 structurally deficit bridges in the country.
Mm-hmm. It's disgraceful, really.
I have to say that one thing that we are ignoring big time, and I would go back to the immediacy of what's going on with climate change and the ignorance in which our leadership on a global level is treating it, and how badly it's been treated for the last couple of years. And I know that like David, a lot of us have had conversations over and over again. This is a hot topic in our little circle here. And one of the things that keeps recycling is the fact that it's going to take some kind of huge disaster or shift on such a level that it shocks us out of the lifestyle we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way change is going to come. Lee, do you see that as something that is inevitable, or are you of a mind that we keep addressing it, we keep working it, and we're going to make the changes?
Well, I think you're right that it needs to be some huge kind of catastrophe. But the problem is that huge catastrophe, I mean, I think we're in the middle of it. I think that it's not going to be an instantaneous thing. It's going to be, even over just 5 years, it's going to be, these crazy wildfires and crazy hurricanes and crazy heat waves and droughts. So we're sitting here looking at it, and the question is, what lesson do we learn from it? We're quite good at taking the wrong lesson out of things if we want to. I mean, the BP oil spill, largest oil spill just about ever. And what lesson do we take out of that? We basically said to them, hey, pay a little money and just keep doing it.
Yeah, right. And we let them use Corexol as a way to fix it, supposedly.
Yeah, they have some really good paper towels. They have some killer paper towels that are going to really clean it up.
Yeah,
Lee, you're right on the money with that.
It comes down to that. It really does. You see it going on out there, and you wonder whether or not anybody's really looking at things with a critical eye in the halls of leadership, if you will. How could they not be,
Well, that's why That's why having you on online like that, Lee, is so important in public, is so important, because it really does, in its own way, raise people's consciousness, and that needs to happen severely.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, the same about your show, is that, you know, I think this is coming from the bottom up. It's not going to come from the top down. We're not going to have a leader that's going to say, I'm going to change everything in terms of climate change right now.
No.
It's got to come from the people slowly getting the message out there that this is ridiculous to sit here
right.
acting like it's not happening any longer.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There you go.
Well, we're doing our share, and so are you, and we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, yeah. I just created a so obviously there's LeeCamp.net where I've been doing the videos and stuff, but I just created a Tumblr called Clarity Collective, Clarity-Collective, and I want to post like just a lot of activist art, you know, whether it's paintings or poems or whatever else, music, rap. There's a lot of great conscious rap out there, and kind of just bring it all together and say, you know, here are all these people trying to get this message out in a lot of different various ways. You know, I use comedy, but people use a lot of different methods, and kind of just get it all together and say, you know, you can learn about these things and not be miserable and not be bored, and get the word out there.
Well, that's great. And activities like that need to be encouraged and become more prevalent throughout our society.
So
yeah,
Lee,
definitely.
One more time, that's called Clarity Collective over on Tumblr?
Yeah, Clarity-Collective. I think you can find it that way.
Very cool. And are you working with anybody? Are you looking at anybody? In other words, if people have something, should they send it your way? Or is this something you're going out looking for it?
No, either one. So they can definitely send me stuff, and I have a couple of people I'm working with, so we'll check it out and try and get it up there. If they want to email it to themocshow@gmail.com. So MOC obviously stands for Moment of Clarity, so themocshow@gmail.com.
Great. Lee, I know you're in the car and that you've got just, you know, so much time for us today, and I really appreciate you making the time for us. I know you got a large schedule going on right now. I'm very happy for you. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, we really appreciate
you
being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hopefully next
Anytime.
Time it'll be with better sound conditions, and I can make it better for you. But I appreciate what you guys do, and thank you so much for having me on.
And you're very welcome. We look forward to your return down the line.
All right. Talk soon.
Okay,
great.
Lee. Good luck.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. Jack, you
great,
still with
great,
me?
Great time. Great man. That's hilarious, some of the stuff he has online. I encourage people to go see it. It's definitely educational. And it's satirical, and it's all those good things. It's just like watching The Daily Show in many, many ways. So it's a unique moment on the Internet that I wish and hope that more people will avail themselves of.
Yeah, you can find Lee's work at – all you have to do is put Lee Camp into YouTube. It's Lee Camp number 2, and there's also the Moment of Clarity, which will bring up his site with all of his phone. He's also on Facebook under Lee Camp.
Yeah, he's got a boatload of programs that you can watch. It's just great. I'm going to spend the next week availing myself of them.
He addresses a lot of different issues. I actually opened up the mic on Stella Beverly's mic so that...
Oh, hi, Stella.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Hope you're doing well, too.
Fine. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm having some technical difficulties, but I was listening to the show. It was awesome. And I don't know if you've got visual... I don't know if you've got visual contact or not, so...
No, we just basically, I thought you might be just listening to the show, but I opened your mic up because I wondered if there was something you wanted to say. I also want to mention, too, that you can find Lee's Moment of Clarity when they're up. They're also posted at our network, which is the Commons Project Network on that's thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. You can also find it. You can find that stuff over there. I'm not answering calls tonight from numbers that I'm not aware of out there. So I do have a 347 area code calling in right now, and I have no idea who you are. If you could type your name into the chat room, perhaps then I would realize who you are. But there's a lot of stuff going down in the chat room, guys.
That's good.
We can do the rest of the comedy show on the chat room today. There's one guy in here who's, you know, oh, well, whatever. So, Jack and Beverly, I would love to do a plug for Roundtree 7 right now. There's a wonderful post up that Stella wrote. Stella is Beverly. Beverly is Stella. You're out of the bag now, girlfriend. I don't know if she's still listening or what, but it's called...
Can you guys
20.
Hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to try the headphones. I'm really sorry about this.
Oh, no problem.
Mr. O'Brien is so confused. Well, confused.
Tell us about your current post, Stella.
Yeah.
My current post is about, I was watching a biography on Mark Twain this morning, and I was just struck by how progressive he was, given his time period. And as I was listening to Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn and, you know, listening to him talk about how he had... the whole process with Huckleberry Finn's progress as a character was when I heard about the Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman, you know, the verdict. And it was so bizarre because I heard it right, you know, I heard the verdict right as I was listening to this thing with, that I'd written on the post. That
wow.
This moment where Huck is like, do I send the letter or not? And my feeling was that when I was writing this, I just could feel like we're sending the letter, and we've sent the letter that Huck Finn chose not to send.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone but me, but it was, for me, it was this moment of just like, we've sent the letter. We've sent the letter back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was feeling this morning when I saw the, when I heard about the verdict. My husband came in and told me about the verdict.
I was shocked to hear that verdict, even though I anticipated something like that coming out of the region that it came from. But I was still, nonetheless, I was pretty astonished by the fact that they let him completely off the hook. I found that a little bit incredible.
Well, you know that the verdict read not guilty, but not innocent either.
Right, okay. Good point.
Exactly. What does that mean? That means that they're trying very hard to either tap down the political correctness or what have you. I really don't know. Oh, good. The eagle flew away. there was this guy in the. Okay, never mind. Now I'm off. I'm talking about the chat room, which I want to acknowledge everybody who was in the chat room and who is in the chat room, and thank you for all coming by to listen to our conversation for the first half of the show with Lee today. I got a promise from him before that he would call, he would give us a show again. So I really love what he does, this moment of clarity.
Oh, it's fabulous.
They are. They're really, really good. They get attention, and they're, generally speaking, if it's not right on facts, it's right on the humor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does a good job. There's two other guys I'd like to have on. One's Dennis Traynor, who did the OccuDoc documentary during OccuPod.
Oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. who does an acronym television, and also Asher Flatt, the punk patriot. He's absolutely wonderful. Like Lee Camp, he does these. He hasn't been doing a bunch of them lately because he's got other projects going on. But generally, he does these videos that are just fabulous. Our consciousness raising in the political venue.
Well, that's great, and let's hope that we do have the opportunity to have them on before too terribly long. There's more and more of them springing up all the time, and that's a good thing too.
Go ahead.
No,
I was thinking about something we mentioned about how people are getting their news from The Daily Show and from, obviously, Stephen Colbert, and I was thinking, throughout history, people have gotten their best news through satire. It's been historically, I mean, you can go through eras and eras and eras of news, and that's where people often get their news from, because there's always this humor.
Mm-hmm.
And truth all at the same time. So it's a very interesting comment that he made.
People love irony. They really do, and they always have. And they always will.
Yeah, exactly. That's why The Onion's so popular.
Right.
So you can go back all the way. I mean, I've been interested in satire since the time I can remember, and it was just interesting when Lee made that comment, because I wanted to say, that's always been the case. People have gotten their news through satire a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So just adding that in.
Well, very true. Very, very good observation. And there will be more of it in the future. We can count on that.
Right.
And he's really quite good. And you know what? I prepared myself for Lee, but Jack, I didn't really prepare myself for much else. We've spoken a bit about the Zimmerman trial.
Well, I have a little bit of news that is currently in my blog right now, the Saturday Afternoon Post, and it deals with a letter I received or an email I received from Senator. Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the independent who's very progressive, and what he is doing, and I didn't know he was involved with this, but it's a great idea. He, like all of us, is very sick and tired of the bitterness in Washington and all the fighting and all the the obstruction and the non-productive nature of our federal government. He wants to supplant all these obstructionists with progressive members of Congress, and boy, do we severely need that right now. And he's begun a pack called Progressive Voters. Let's see, what is it? Progressive Voters of America. And he sent me not me specifically, but en masse. If you're on his mailing list, you got a email, and he's trying to get this funded, and he's trying to solicit some funds for it. So I encourage you people to either go to Bernie Sanders, Google Bernie Sanders, or go to the Saturday Afternoon Post, and you'll find a way to link there to get to his site if you're interested in supporting that. And if you do believe that we do need a progressive government instead of the mediocre Tweedledee Tweedledum one we've got right now, I love the idea, and it begins at the very bottom, and that's what we're starting from, and that's what we've got to anticipate. It'll take some time, but it has to be committed action, and I think he's making a good start with this political action committee that he's just begun, and I contributed to it myself. I can't do a lot, but I did a little bit, and I will continue to do so down the line. I encourage others to do so too.
I'm reading your post right now, Jack. It's a great post. I'm glad you put this up. I was thinking, what kind of progress could we make if Bernie Sanders and Dennis Kucinich joined forces?
Ooh, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
We can
split hairs all day long about one or the other in one way or another, on one particular issue or another. By and large, they are arguing on behalf of the American people and the American worker and the poor and the middle class and everybody, not just the rich. And, boy, what a team-up that would make.
Yeah, I keep thinking, you know, as I was reading this, I'm like, well, this sounds like Kucinich-Pack, and I'm thinking, have they thought about connecting with each other? And I don't know. It's just something that came into my head.
That's a great idea. And, you know, Kucinich, you know, somebody should get in contact with him and suggest that, because he's out of government now. You know, he got aced out by the redistricting that the Republicans skillfully maneuvered in Ohio, and Marcy Kaptur, you know, got his seat. And he's out. He's out of government, which is a real shame. And, you know, his voice needs to be heard again.
I had an opportunity to see him speak live when he was running for president. He was speaking with John Edwards and Hillary Clinton. Three of them came to speak in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And Kucinich was so much, he was the most dynamic of the three. Unquestionably.
Oh, yeah. Just,
you know, he was really something. And
you can see him on YouTube. I know you used to be able to. I'm sure it's still up. You can see him on YouTube, and he's very effective and very, very common sense and very fair-minded. He's a wonderful man.
He's a really great guy. Both of them are. Bernie Sanders appeals to many more. But
mm-hmm.
Dennis just doesn't appeal to that many folks. Folks don't think of him enough as a leader. That's one of his downfalls, you know, that he isn't more. I like him a lot.
Well, you know, he comes from common folk. He comes from the real people. You know, they, like I've complained for a long time that you don't have any bus drivers in Congress. You don't have any waiters. You don't have any cooks. You don't have any regular people in Congress, hardly any. And it's most of them that are there are social workers, and, you know, there aren't very many of them. So he came from very humble roots, and he built a successful congressional career while he was in, and his story is quite amazing.
It is. I agree with you. He did that. It's a shame that he couldn't hang on to his congressional seat after his run for the presidency, and that took a lot. Guys, I got another moment of clarity. Since this is a Lee Camp show, I'd like to play for everyone
Great.
To hear.
We got no plans, no plans at all. Evil man's always pretending. I don't like sheep, swallow everything. Always simple things are pretending.
It's your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. People say I'm too political. They say I'm a political comedian. They say I wear my politics on my sleeve and my thong on the outside. I'm told I'm too political for most TV shows, I'm too political for most college campuses, and nearly every children's birthday party or dog bark mitzvah I perform at lodges a complaint that I'm too political. I'm sure many of you hear that you talk about politics too much. But I want to tell you that everyone else is equally political, because every time they refuse to address one of the important issues facing the world, they are in fact taking a very political stance. They are defending the status quo. They are indeed standing up quite boldly and saying, I'm fine with the way things are. Do not question the continued pillaging of the world. Do not ask why most global wealth is collected in the top 1 or 2%. Have a seat, say thank you for your portion of fried onion, cheesy poppers, and talk about sports, goddammit. How the fuck could Tim Duncan miss that Duncan? That is a political stance. What we do by screaming, they do the opposite with silence. What we do by speaking out, they fight against with obedience. Thousands are marching in Turkey and millions in Brazil. When you don't mention it, you are silently pepper spraying them. Every time someone allows their boss to get away with comments that are racist, sexist, homophobic, or somehow derogatory toward the Police Academy movie, he or she is taking a political stance, not a neutral one. Every time someone turns a discussion about the largest surveillance apparatus ever created in a country with a constitution forbidding unreasonable search and seizure into a conversation about whether Edward Snowden's girlfriend really did that much pole dancing, they are taking a political stance, allowing the power elite to continue their butt wiping with our beloved laws. I mean, it won't be long before they're arguing that when the Founding Fathers said no unreasonable search and seizure, they didn't mean taking your property. They meant the kind of seizure where you shake and foam at the mouth. And no one should have to endure one of those without a good reason. There is nothing worse than watching a person go through an unreasonable seizure. Walmart employees stood up recently against Walmart's everyday low wages. You know Walmart, right? Walmart, where else can you get a wife beater, T-shirt, confetti, and Vagisil in a single combo pack? Walmart, remember that lovely little store down the street owned by that adorable family? We won't mention what happened to them if you don't. Walmart, we bet you didn't know there was such a thing as blood mangoes. Walmart, the only place for, you don't have a choice. Walmart, making people who work elsewhere thankful they have a job they hate since 1982. Walmart, we're not that bad. Think about sex trafficking. That's totally worse. Walmart, we'll soon have sex trafficking at everyday low prices. Walmart, we've changed our motto to "We think your baby is butt ugly. It looks like Jack Nicholson's droopy neck skin." That's our new motto, and yet you're still going to shop here. We know you are. Seriously, though, do something about that baby. Walmart, the truth is we're a social experiment to see just how horrible we'd have to be to get you to stop shopping at the place with the lowest prices. And we haven't found anything. What would we have to do to your community, your family, your friends to make you stop? We shat on your leather couch, your new leather couch, literally shat on it. And you're still going to buy the stain remover at Walmart because it's 78 cents cheaper. What the fuck is the matter with you people? This was supposed to be a two-week experiment. So many workers have been standing up against the impossibly low wages at Walmart, and many now are facing reprisals. Some are being fired. And those of us who aren't talking about it are siding with Walmart. If you aren't talking about a woman's right to choose being taken away across the country, you might as well be doing the forced transvaginal ultrasound yourself. And those who tell you that's a good way to meet chicks, it so isn't. You see, silence is a political stance. It's defending the status quo. That's been your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. The music I'm going to play here at the end is called Meet Me at Zuccotti by Rich Alexandro and some others at Occupy Astoria. I'll put the link to their video in the description. Also, if you haven't joined my mailing list, you're totally missing out. It's only one email per week. You can sign up at LeeCamp.net. Thanks a lot. Keep fighting.
Zuccotti to liberty, beat asleep to awaken. Those from slumber, out of hibernation. Real time live stream, beat a drum up. They try to sum up, make a sound bite, sound right.
And
well, the man speaks common sense and truth. There's no doubt about that. And he does it in a hilarious way. And that was very entertaining. This has been a very entertaining show today, having him on and hearing his little snippets of stuff. I encourage everybody to go to his site and to go to look at his videos. They are absolutely hilarious, and they're right on the money as far as accuracy and yeah, all of the topics we talk about are concerned.
Jack, you're right. He really doesn't open his mouth until he knows what he's talking about, which is
smart.
I mean, I asked him about, Zimmerman and everything, and it's like until he really knows everything, he's not going to let his tongue roll out of his mouth without realizing.
Well, he doesn't talk foolishly. Yeah. He doesn't talk for the sake of being heard. He has a motive for talking, which is admirable, and I fully support him in that.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, what we all of us, especially within an activist community, which is where a lot of us sit and pull our politics from, it's like this. we're not always going to agree with one another, and people are going to have different ideas of what's really the truth and what isn't.
Right.
But we do agree to be civil and to give each other benefit of the doubt and to at least extend the hand of cooperation. Other people don't always. It's either my way or the highway. And when
are quick to jump to extremes, aren't they? And you know, there isn't much cooperation going on out there outside of our little community that we have here. That's nice that we have this. It doesn't mean that we're always agreeing with each other. It doesn't mean that we're always talking the same thing. It doesn't mean that we're always trying to buttress our arguments with somebody else's beliefs. But we're always there, and we always listen, and we are civil, like you see, and that's a great highlight.
And would like to end this show with the reminder that from Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com, and also including all of my compadres, our compadres over at Worldwide Hippies and Authority Smashers and Pinko the Bear, and there's a whole network of us out there. And we build, and we're aligned with a whole bunch of other networks of people doing the same thing. We do openly extend a welcome to people to come in and sit down and say what their discovery of the facts are going on out there, whether it's an extinction theory or it's a new projection of what's going to happen with solar power or wind turbines or what the XL pipeline has really got planned. I mean, there are many, many, many avenues of information out there, and bringing up the consciousness or awareness of people to all of the information is part of what we do at the Commons Project Network and Roundtree7.com and over at Saturday Afternoon Post and on Here Be Monsters. And there's four shows right now where this is happening right here on Here Be Monsters. And then there is Air Amartafio with Ruth Ann and all of her shows. So it's important to bring that information out. And I just want to, again, reiterate, if you will, that we do extend our table to anyone to come and sit down.
We're here for intelligent discussion, intelligent, polite discussion, and it works.
And support, and supporting one another in the fight. It's rage against the machine. Jack, thanks so much for being with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Gwen. It's always a pleasure. And thanks for everybody in the chat room for being there and commenting today. Thank you, David, for coming on. Thanks to Lee Camp. Thanks to Stella. Thanks to everybody that listens and takes part and the blogs out there.
Yeah, there you go. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for being so... we've got Kim from AWOP Radio, and David's in there, and so is P.E. Nolan from Worldwide Hippies and Roundtree 7. She's in there. And Mr. O'Brien and a nice young lady. Lots of people were in there. And there was a couple of trolls in there also. So I want to extend my apologies for not being able to bounce people out, but apparently I didn't sign in the right way, or I signed in too many times today, but I couldn't do that. So, Stella, I know you're still there. I'm going to say good evening to you, too. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
That was awesome. Thank you very much. It's nice to listen to you and Jack.
Yeah, come back anytime, Stella. It's great to hear from you, too.
Thank you.
And that's our show this evening, everybody. And a special thanks to David for coming in and asking a question also. And biggest thanks of all to Lee Camp. He's great. I love
him. He is fabulous.
So we'll be with you next Sunday for the Sunday show. I guess that's all she wrote for this one.
Well, it was a blockbuster today. Keep up the good work and keep thinking forward, everybody.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
So, Jack.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.